Let's open our Bibles to Romans 16. The Lord will enable me. I want to talk to you tonight like we're sitting in my kitchen. I want to speak with you. I want to look at Romans 16. I want to look at the whole of it. I think we'll get a good handle on it. And I want us to look at the key verse that shows us what Paul was getting at here in this chapter. Whenever the Lord gives a message, I ought not tell everything I know, but sometimes it's good to understand some things. Anybody can get up and teach. Anybody can take a systematic theological standpoint and some understood doctrines they can read in some type of encyclopedia, and they can use deductive reasoning. And that can make logical sense and apply a Messiah to the Scriptures throughout the Scriptures. So here's the format. How do we make this fit in this passage? And they can teach some things. Historically, they can show some things. But if God gives a message, He has to give it. We labor. His laborers in the field, they work. They dig, they plow, they water, they do everything they can. They know where to get the seed. But if the Lord don't give the increase, there's no increase. He has to give it. I know this is going to be my text. I have a message in me concerning this text. There's some teaching and preaching. You can't have one without the other if the God's servant. They have to go together. And I want to teach you, I want to help you if you'll let me. I want to show you some things that we need to hear in this chapter. And then I want to do that shortly. And then I want to show you some wonderful things and just talk about it. I got some meat and potatoes for us this evening. We need to eat our vegetables first. And then I got a whole mess of dessert for you. It was a blessing to me. It's going to bless somebody. If it just blessed one of you, I'd be tickled to death. He says here in verse 19. Romans 16, verse 19. This here is the linchpin in this whole chapter. Paul says, "For your obedience is come abroad to all men. You brethren in Rome, we've all heard about you. We know you're faithful. The Lord's made you that way." And he says, "And I am glad, therefore, on your behalf." I'm thankful for you. When the Lord blesses a people, whenever He comes to them, reveals Himself in them, there's Holy Spirit conviction, that's a blessed people. I'm happy for them. I'm tickled to death. There's no jealousy. If I find out I got a new brother or sister, I'm happy. He said, "I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good." He wants us wise in that which is good and simple concerning evil. Paul's told him some things up to this point. And he says, "In your wisdom, in goodness," I want that to be extensive. I want you to be, our Lord told us in Matthew chapter 10, He sent those disciples out, 12 disciples. And He said, "I'm going to send you right in the middle of the wolves." Know that going into it. If you be careful about being the Lord's. "Lord, I want to serve you." He just might use you. And He tells you ahead of time, "I'm going to send you right in the middle of the wolves." He said, "And you need to be as cunning as serpents, as wise as serpents." What's wise as a serpent? Does that mean we're sneaky and crafty? A serpent doesn't bark, does it? A serpent doesn't make no noise. It doesn't have arms to flail around and wave up in the sky. It sits back and it watches. It observes. It stands still and waits on the Lord. Not that we're serpents, but to be wise as a serpent, to sit back and watch. And harmless as doves. That's what He told us. Crafty as a serpent and harmless as doves. That means when you see the problem, right there's the good stuff, right there's the bad stuff. Stop. You have no defenses. You're a dove. Don't go charging the gates. That's what He's getting at. Paul told us that in 1 Corinthians 14. He was talking about speaking in tongues and people that interpret. They speak another language. If I went down to Mexico to preach, one of them brethren would have to interpret it from English to Spanish for them to understand me. That's a gift the Lord gives. There was a miracle of speaking in tongues, but that's just the gift the Lord gave for someone to speak one or two or three languages. And people were wrapped up in this. Oh, wow, he can speak five languages. And Paul said, you'd be better off to understand what the prophecy was, to be able to preach Christ, than to be able to speak French and Spanish and Italian. That ain't going to do you no good. Christ is what the need is. And he said, you need to be men in understanding, but children in malice. He said, on all these things, these understanding Christ, we need to be men. We need to be grown-ups. Act like adults in this. We've been taught some things. And that's who we need to look to. But in this envying and this malice and this strife and putting one over another and all this nonsense, that's be like a child. Don't have any malice in you. Be like a dove. Harmless. Be grown up and watch these things. Observe. That's what Paul's saying here in verse 19. He said, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. I want you to know these good things. What's these good things? In the first 16 verses, Paul just gives us a beautiful picture, a beautiful greeting, commendations. He's lauding the people in Rome, the brethren there. He starts out talking about Phoebe. She was the only one not from Rome. And then he mentions well over 30 brethren by name in Rome. How faithful they are, how beloved they are, how they're in Christ. They're laborers in the Word. They're laborers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and on how thankful he is. And he says, Rufus, he said, you and your mom? He goes, she's my mother too. Paul loved those folks. That's what's good. God was gracious to some people. He was gracious to those he put in Christ before the time was, before the world was. That's what we need to dwell on. We need to be wise in those things. Wise in the good things. But now there's some evil things. And we need to be simple in those. Real simple. Real simple. He says in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not the Lord's servants, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We need to be simple concerning these evil preachers that Paul's telling us about. Those that do not preach Christ. Those that are not His servants. Those that are contrary to the doctrine. Singular. The doctrine which you've learned. What did God the Holy Father teach His people? A singular doctrine. He taught us Christ. If you're His, He's taught you Christ. And there's some people that go against that. They are against Christ. In what we looked at the other night, what's the full gospel of Christ? Christ told us in Psalm 40, preaching thy righteousness, thy faithfulness, thy salvation, thy loving kindness, and thy truth. If a man thinks that he has his own faith, that's against Christ. What's another way of saying that? You are anti-Christ. Well, TV show back in the 70s, that girl said, Daddy, so many people's killed by guns. This year. He said, would you be happy if they was pushed out of windows? If they're a little bit off or they're a whole lot off, does it make you feel more warm and fuzzy on the inside if they're only a little bit anti-Christ? They've been brewing whiskey down there in Tennessee for 157 years off of one piece of yeast. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, those that are contrary to the doctrine, he says, you mark them and you avoid them. Does that mean who we listen to? Who preaches? It does. It does. If somebody preaches against Christ, against His gospel, how He saves people, avoid them. Mark them. That's bad. Be simple. Be simple about it. Be harmless as a dove. Don't go on the warpath and attack it. That's bad. Now avoid it. Turn around and go that way. I got this from a brother of mine this morning. If I told you, somebody in this nation, there's a couple people in this nation, that if it were possible, it ain't possible, but if it were possible, they would deceive even the Lord's elect. And I told you, I said, don't listen to them. Do not listen to that person. I love you. I care for you. The Lord sent me here to look out for you. It looks like a sheep, but that's a wolf. Avoid it. I marked it for you. Don't listen to them. You know what we'd do? Adam was in the garden, wasn't he? And the Lord said, eat, consume fruit from every tree that you can see. Oh, there's good fruit to be ate. Oh, man, and trusted trees, good trees. I made them trees. I sent them trees. There's trees after my own heart. You go feed off of them. But there's one tree here. Don't you eat of it. It's marked. Avoid it. Leave it alone. What'd Adam go do? What would I do? Some of us need to avoid some things. Those that are against Christ, those that are against His people, we can see them, we can be told about them and talk about it. We're grown up a little bit. We need to avoid it. Avoid it at all costs. It'll benefit you. The Lord says so. And there's some other folks that need to know that there really are people out there that are against Christ. There are wolves. Not everybody and their brother is a sheep. Not everybody that says they're a Christian is in Christ. I hate to tell you. People in your own home. People you love. It's a shame. Whenever we learn about these things, we're going to see it here in just a second. Don't be too quick to write someone off. I got to be careful how I give this to you. If I said if someone's against Christ, shut them down. And then somebody gets up and says one thing wrong, put the earplugs in. Let's not do that. There's a difference between error and heresy. There's a difference between error and heresy. I hope I can show that to you. Let's turn over to Acts 15. Acts 15. If there's a brother or a sister that think for some reason that they can make themselves sanctified, or they think that they have their own faith, or they think they found the truth on their own, or they think they have some kind of loving kindness that's conjured up on them. I love God. I always talk about throughout this book here, we'll see this hopefully in a minute. It's always about how God loves him, how God loves that brother, how God loves that sister, how God loves his people. Don't say nothing about, well, oh, Rufus, boy, he just loved the Lord. It says the Lord loved Rufus. If some of our brother or sister come in and they're not opposing Christ, they are on those points, but they sit quietly in a pew and they listen to Christ preach. They listen to the truth preach. Don't run them off. Don't run them off. They're not getting up causing a big disturbance. If the other brethren can still hear, don't run them off. That's all right. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be simple. Be simple. Wait on Him. Look here in Acts 15. Verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now you take out circumcision and you put in any verb, any performance of a work, any keeping of a law, anything that exerts energy to accomplish a task. That's what the definition of work is. Take that out and put that in there. Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. I always get tickled when I read that. There was no small disputation. There wasn't a little bit of a dissension. Like, well, we'll just agree to disagree. That was fisticuffs. There was an all-out war. That's something to protest. Unless you do something other than Christ, you can't be saved. It's time to pick up some rocks and start throwing them. That's called heresy. That's a damnable heresy. And you'll go to hell listening to something like that unless God's pleased to show you different. It ain't the truth. And then insult to injury. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Now these men had come down from Judea, didn't they? And they said, well, we don't agree, Paul and Barnabas. We've argued about this long enough. You go up to Jerusalem and you find out from the big boys. We don't trust what you have to say. Whew, buddy. But both of them like a backhanded them right across the face right then. What an insult. So what did they do? says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. You go ask grown up, Paul. Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church paid for them to go up there. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now they're walking up there, long walk. And you know what they did the whole time? God saves His people. He saves sinners. God saved Gentiles. Gentiles. That means He's going to save anybody. He'll save a Gentile like me. You need to hear this. You're not excluded. Were they murmuring? Ah, them boys from Judea making me go all the way up here. I'm an apostle. Christ called me. I'll not have to go up here. I'll just take my word for it. Look at Barnabas. I want to ask Barnabas some questions. Don't you take his word for it? Can you believe them men? They make the Lord's people, are they? They didn't say none of that, did they? All right, we'll go. And the whole way up there, they tell everybody that listened, Christ came to save sinners. He shall save His people. They left it alone. Verse 4, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. That's who they come talk to. And they declared all things that God had done with them. First order of business. We made it all the way up here. That's a long walk. God saved some folks on the way up here. We got to tell them He came to save some Gentiles and some Jews and every tribe, every nation, every kindred. Brother said earlier, every family on this earth. Whosoever. And He did it. We got to see Him do it. That's the first order of business. I thought you were supposed to go up there and satisfy these men biting and devouring you, Paul. No, we'll just tell the good things. We're going to be wise in the good things. We're going to have plenty in the good things, in the grace of God. Now we're going to be a little bit simple in the evil. He says in verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. They said, okay, well, after the good, the wise good, the plentiful good of God's grace is done, there's a little bit of business we got to handle. We got a problem down there. And you know what happened before they answered anything? Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. God chose a people, didn't He? That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. He said, there ain't no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. We're all sin. God chose a people before the foundation of the world. I know this. He revealed it in my heart. I got up and preached to them, and they believed just the same as me and you did. Ain't no difference. Bond or free, male or female, don't make no difference. God saved His people. That was the result of it. After a little bit of dealing with this evil, a little bit of simplicity in dealing with this evil, and after an abundance, a great multitude of speaking about grace, what God had did in His people. They preached the whole way up there is what they did. They handled this. Now let's look back in our text. Romans 16, verse 19. Paul's writing his brethren that he loved. And he says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. I'm going to have you preaching the whole way up to Jerusalem what God does for sinners. His grace. His love toward an undeserving people. And I want you simple concerning evil. Be harmless as a dove. You be like a little child when that evil. You see it, walk away from it, and leave it alone. Well, it needs dealt with. That's on my checklist. If there's somebody to fight, I want to fight it till the fight's over. I don't want to back down. You don't give up ground that you've won in battle. There's an enemy on the block. I want to grab that wolf by the beard. Let's deal with this. I want to handle it now. That's not my job, is it? That vengeance isn't my job. Whose job is it? Why should we be simple? Why should we be worried about the good things and just slightly concerned enough to avoid the potholes that the Lord's put in front of us? Look here in verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan entered Peter, didn't he? And he said, Lord, don't you go up there. Don't you die. I won't have it. And he said, get you behind me, Satan. Lord dealt with it, didn't he? Lord's dealt with this. All this evil. Mark it. Avoid it. Lord's going to handle it. I don't have to fix nothing. And he's going to do it shortly. Shortly. He'll handle it. I've seen this happen 100 times. There's something that I think that I just have to get my hand in. And I sweat and I worry and I fret for days. I don't sleep. And I think, what am I going to do? And I just cry myself to sleep thinking, wait on the Lord. And I wake up next day and you know what? The Lord fixed it. You think after years and years and years of this happening over and over again that I just say, Lord, handle it. He'll crush Satan under my feet. He'll do it shortly. Won't be long. Won't be as long as it has been. So what should we be worried about then? The Lord will take care of that. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Be wise in that which is good. All this controversy, who's a believer, who's not a believer, that just went perfect with what we looked at 1 Thessalonians the other day. That's plain. There's His people. They follow Him. They love Him. They give themselves for the brethren. They want to be around the brethren. They believe God. They believe Him. Not perfectly, not as they want to. I don't love my brethren as I want to love them, as I ought to, but I love my brethren. I believe the Lord. Don't believe them as I want to or ought to. I believe the Lord. Believe His Word. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, all this wonderful blessing that the Lord gives you, that be to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with you. That's what ought to fill you up. Let your cup overflow. Not wondering, who's preaching the truth? Should I not go to church there? What about so-and-so? Well, I ain't seen him in 3 weeks. What am I going to do? Look to what the Lord's done. Walk to Jerusalem preaching the grace of God. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 16. There's a list of believers in the first 16 verses, and then there in the close too. The Lord used Paul to write these names down. And I'm going to gently breeze over a few of them this evening. And I hope we can go back and look at a few of them in more detail later. But these are blood-bought children of God. And Paul lists almost everybody he can think of at Rome. And I was reading that, and I talked to Kimberly at lunch today, and I said, you know, there's all these names. I'm having such a hard time with these names. I'm butchering them. I ain't going to say them right. But it's a long list of names. And I thought, you know, if I was sitting in that church at Rome, Paul loved them. Loved them enough to remember their names. Now, he is a mental giant. Lord gifted him with a brilliant mind. But he loved them enough to care to remember their names and remember what they did and remember stories about them, remember their family. And he wrote a letter, and he listed just about every one of them. And I thought, if I was sitting in that church at Rome, and Paul had wrote this letter, and he was like, oh, beloved of the Lord, this one. And this one, and that one, and this one, and that one, and it didn't have Kevin Thacker on there. I'd have turned inside out. If there's going to be a name left off, it's going to be my name left off. But I guarantee you that every name on here is the names of the brethren in Rome Paul was writing to. You know why? Our Lord wrote some names in a book long time ago. And they ain't one missing. And they ain't one extra in that Lamb's Book of Life. It's eternally secure in there. And it's individual. It's specific. The Lord remembers His people. He's recorded this for 2,000 years for us. Right now, His people today, He knows us. He ain't kind of familiar, knows some stats about us like we know baseball, but intimately He knows His people. He knew us first. He foreknew His people, foreloved them before time. We are His epistles. We're proof of salvation. A sinner saved by grace is proof that God saves sinners. And we tell people about it, don't we? All the way up to Jerusalem. Walk all the way. It says here in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That's a little port city about 8 miles from Corinth. Paul was in Corinth writing this letter, and he's commending them Phoebe. It says, verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Phoebe was a faithful woman. She was a faithful servant of God. People take that word servant and they butcher it beyond all the way down the road and back. And they say, well, she was a deaconess and they ought to have women deacons. And no, every child of God is His servant. If we could enter into that. If I owned a gas station and there's somebody sat out front all day and ate cupcakes and smoked cigarettes, didn't do nothing, didn't sweep floors, didn't nothing, and I said, that's my employee. He's employee of the month. You say, that don't work for you. You need fire. God has people. He calls them. He does a work in their heart. They serve Him. They serve Him. Now, that might be an attending service in praying for the brethren, greeting somebody at the door when they come in. Hello, how are you? It's good seeing you. How's the kids doing? It might be something really small, but they're going to serve Him. Phoebe served. She's a business lady, most think. But this woman, business owner, was heading up to Rome to do some business. And Paul's saying, just as Christ received you, receive her. She's a faithful sister. That prefix was purchased by the blood of Christ. I've spent a lot of time with her. She loves the Lord. She needs His righteousness. She needs His faithfulness. His love. She loves Christ. She does. And you receive her. Now you think about this. That's a long time ago. This ain't nowadays. If Kimberly was to fly to London and then take a train underneath the English Channel and end up in Paris and then had to do some driving around in taxi cabs and stuff like that, I wouldn't be happy about it. I would be concerned for her, but there wouldn't be great worry, would they? Here's this woman, Phoebe, by herself. Back then, scallywags all over that dock. She'd take a boat, maybe some carriages and everything else to get up to Rome. And you know what? If we get around that. You know what Phoebe was carrying? The only copy of the book of Romans. She had a hard journey, didn't she? Dangerous journey. This isn't our day. This is back then. It's pretty rough. Rich lady going up there to do some business, and she's carrying the only copy of this epistle to Rome. Do you think anything could have kept her from making it to Rome? How many millions of copies of this letter do we have now around this world just today? That's a faithful servant, isn't it? And he said, you receive her as becometh saints. She's a saint of God. She's sanctified by the blood of Christ. And you receive her the same way that God sanctified you. She showed up. And whatever her problems are, her baggage, I don't know what she does. If something offensive, put it away. Pay no mind to it. That's a child of God. He goes on and says, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Priscilla and Aquila talked about a lot in this area here by Paul. Thought on a lot by Paul because he met them. Aquila came from Italy, came from Rome, whenever he was getting run off back then. And he met up with Paul, and they were the same occupation. We read that in Acts 18. And they all mended tents together. And Aquila and Priscilla and Paul would go out, and they'd make tents. And then on the weekends, Paul would preach. You think there's probably some days that Priscilla and Aquila said, you know what, Paul, we'll take care of two of these, and you just do one. No, you go on home and study. You got to preach this weekend. We'll take care of this. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? The grace, that's something wise to focus on. Wouldn't it be nice to have a business partner that was a child of God? That'd make the days awful good, wouldn't it? And it says there, verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. That's the first one listed there in Rome. Priscilla and Aquila. Oh, what faithful servants. That's the good things. That's the wise unto that which is good. Look what the Lord blessed. Do you think they did that on themselves? They stuck their necks out a lot for Paul. And Apollos. They quietly took Apollos to the side because he was preaching that baptism which is of John. He was a sinner. He needed a Savior. When's that Messiah coming? And he knew the truth. He could preach Christ out of the Old Testament. And said, He's coming. And after service, Priscilla and Aquila had enough sense, enough wisdom, not to do it beforehand. He's about to get up and preach. y'all don't know, that ain't a good time to do stuff. Wait till after. They took him aside privately and they said, Apollos, we love you, brother. We know you love Christ. We know you know Him. He's already come. He's already come. Here's His apostles. Here's the acts He performed. Here's who you need to talk to. Go talk to Paul. Go talk to Cephas. They'll train you up on this. And he did. The Lord put a good spirit in Apollos. But he goes on there 9 times throughout these rest of these 16 verses. And he says, beloved in the Lord. There in verse 8. Greet Amphilus, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute Herodon, my kinsman. Greet them in, that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. We all start worrying. It would be wise for us to focus on those good things that are in the Lord. His church that's in the Lord. His Word that's in Him. Salvation that's in Him. And not the things that are out. Not the things that are outside. But he goes on through all these saints, chosen in the Lord, loved of the Lord. And he says in verse 16, salute one another with an holy kiss. That is wise unto that which is good. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Not that kiss of Judas. That's deception. That's got an ulterior motive. That's got another angle to play. But in truth, in love, in joy, and in unity in Christ our Lord. Come to Him. Love Him. Find what unites, not what divides. That's what He's telling us. He says, verse 19 again, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you also wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. God, help us to be wise to the good things. To tell stories of our brethren. John Reeves is up there in Rescue, California, and he's preaching Christ, and the Lord is choosing him, and he saved some folks. Isn't that good to know? Eric Clutter out there in Missouri. Lord's using him, giving him a word, and piercing the heart to his people. He baptized 2 people a couple months ago. They confess Christ in believer's baptism. In our day, think about that. To be a grown-up, and to go get in a tub of water, have a man put you under the water and bring you back out of the water, that seems like foolishness to the rest of the world, doesn't it? Can't you do this online? We want to direct deposit everything, don't we? God has to put that in the heart of a person to truly confess Christ. He's working. I was thinking of so many things that I want to tell you how the Lord's blessing our brethren. That's what Paul did. In the first 16 verses, he was greeting everybody and bragging on them. And you think of one of them stood up and said, boy, I am beloved. I've labored hard. I've stuck my neck out. I say, it wasn't me, it's Christ that did it. If I live, it's Christ. And if I die, it's gain. So when we can, when the Lord enables us, there's times we need to be simple. Like a small child, like a dove, see something that's wrong, it's a heresy. From heretical people, and avoid it, and be simple. It's over. Now let's look at what the grace of God's done. Let's speak on those things. Concentrate on those things. And if we can't see it in somebody else, beg God to show grace in our hearts. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, give me faith to believe on You, to look to Christ, not to this world. Lord, be sweet to my brethren. Give me a heart that loves my brethren and supports them. Let me go out of their way. Out of my way for them. That'd be better. That'd be wise, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be better? Sit back and just observe. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's a whole lot better than alternative. And that's why Paul gave us 16 paragraphs or 16 verses on all the wonderful things of those saints in Rome and gave us 2 verses on dealing with evil. That's logical, isn't it? That's pretty good. Lord, be with us this evening. Lord, let us see Your grace, Your salvation, Your mercies, Your love, Your truth for our undeserving people. Lord, let us joy. What rejoicing we have in our walk through this world, Lord. Let us tell people what Christ has done in our hearts. What a salvation. What a God we have. Lord, let us praise you. Let us worship you. Be thankful. Be with our brethren, those that you've given the heart to labor in your word, and you've given the ability to support the gospel. Lord, comfort them. Give them peace. Let them hear of their brethren and be delighted of the work that you're doing in them. Lord, give us rest until that day that we can be brought home. Lord, haste the day. Your will be done. Let us glorify your name here and above. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.